Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In this passage, Jesus uses three words to call us to himself. He invites us to come, to take, and to learn. These terms provide an understanding of God's call in our lives. The Pharisees had called the people to follow a bunch of rules and regulations. Knowing God had become more of an obligation than a hunger and a thirst. They went to the temple or the synagogue because it was a habit that they had gotten used to. Worship wasn't something they desired. It was something they did to get God's blessing. Well, let me ask you, have you gotten that way in your faith? Were you just going through the motions, doing things because that's the way you've done them out of habit? Not to engage the Lord, not to seek Him, not to thirst after Him and hunger after Him. Jesus spoke to people who had lost their longing for God. They knew they needed Him, but He seemed far away and too difficult to follow. The Lord's Word in our text present two pictures for us to focus in on. The first image is of a ship that's loaded with cargo. He says, heavy laden. Jesus was talking to a group of people with heavy burdens. They were overwhelmed. Life was more than they could carry. Failed relationships, illnesses, financial pressure, religious legalism, and the ship was so heavy laden that it was about to sink. And you know, it's no different today than it was in that day. The second image that Jesus uses of an ox yoke used for plowing. He says, those who labor. A yoke was used to pull a plow or to pull a cart placed on the work animal's neck. And the term yoke was also used to describe a rabbi's discipleship where his students would embrace his teachings. Jesus seems to address here in this passage the false teaching of the Pharisees and the struggles of life for those who pursued God's blessing. The yoke was getting heavy. The yoke that they were working under because of the calling of the Pharisees and the religious leaders was just getting to be too much. It had become a struggle to seek after God's blessings. And it was these word pictures that Jesus placed in the minds of his listeners. And then he proclaimed three terms that describe how God wants to transform your life and my life. God doesn't just plan to make your life better. He wants to transform it, make it completely different. The first thing about this transforming of our life is that following Jesus is about receiving the invitation. In verse 28, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. You must receive the invitation that Jesus offers. It's described this way in John's Gospel, in chapter 1 and verse 12. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. God commands us to come to Christ. And yet, He respects our ability to choose. He doesn't automatically make us a follower. He doesn't force us to be born again. Rather, He extends an invitation. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, the prophet says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah in another place, in chapter 55, verse 1, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And in the Revelation, in chapter 22 and verse 17, it says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. It's an invitation that Jesus gives. It's an invitation to stop trying to gain salvation and gain God's favor by good works. It's an invitation to quit trying to be so good that God will love you. Because we're all sinners, we're disqualified from God's love. No amount of labor, no amount of work will ever make a sinful heart good enough to enter into heaven. We need to quit trying and receive Jesus Christ's invitation. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We are called to follow Jesus, and following Him is about receiving the invitation. But following Jesus is also about embracing the position. Look at verses 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you, and then if you jump ahead a little bit, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We're called to take the yoke of Jesus Christ. You've heard this verse before, but imagine what it might have been like if you were hearing it from Jesus giving this message for the very first time. Just imagine, you were there, Jesus is giving this message, and no one's heard it before, and you're there, and you're listening to Jesus say this, and you're burdened, you're stressed out, you're carrying more than you can bear, and Jesus says, I can tell you how to get relief from all of this. What you need to do is take. And when He says that word, take, your mind begins to just get active. And you move to the edge of your seat, wondering what He's going to say. And the person next to you says, hey, I heard Jesus turned water into wine. I wonder if He's going to tell us we need to drink wine. We can get wasted. Just forget about all this stuff. Can you imagine anybody ever thinking like that? Can you imagine life being so bad that someone might think of turning to alcohol for help? Well, you know what happens every single day. There you are on the edge of your seat. You wonder what He's going to say next. You think, I know He fed a bunch of people bread and fish one time. I know what He's going to do. Instead of bread, He's going to give us a whole bunch of chocolate. Can you imagine anyone thinking that eating food helps relieve life's burdens? As Baptists, we think that any struggle can be treated directly with a casserole. People will eat food to try and solve their problems, to try and deal with the problems. Or you hear the words, take, and you say to your friend, you know, Jesus went to the wilderness to pray. He's going to tell us to take a vacation. Imagine anyone thinking that the way to handle the stress of life is to just get away for a few days. A hunting trip or a trip to the beach. Do people really believe that temporary escape will fix their circumstances? Feels good for those couple of days, but when you come back, the circumstances are all there. It's like my friend Pablo back in Miami used to talk about. He used to go over from Miami over to the Gulf Coast to Sanibel Island. You had to go across the bridge over the inlet to get to the island. And he said, one of the great things about Sanibel Island is no problems or troubles are allowed on the island. And so when you get to the bridge, before you drive across the bridge to get on the island, you have to open the door and let all the problems get out. They can't go across the bridge. He says, and then after you let them all out there on that side of the bridge, you close the doors, you go across the bridge, and it's a great time. He says, I do it once or twice a year. Go over there for several days. He says, but you know what? During that whole time, I don't think about those troubles or those problems. He said, but when I come across the bridge, just as I'm coming over the ridge of that bridge, I look and there are all those problems standing there waving for me to stop and pick them up. And they get right in the way and they won't let me go past there without picking them up. So I have to open the door and let them back in. Yeah, we can escape for a moment or two. And it feels good for a moment or two. The circumstances don't go away. They're not resolved by us getting away. Maybe some thought, well, you know, God gave Adam and Eve new clothes. I bet Jesus is going to take us shopping. Are there people who go shopping to make themselves feel better? Oh, you bet there are. Can someone expect a new dress or a new car or a new boat or a new cell phone or a new computer to help them cope with the pressures of life? Well, it seems like they might. I'm not saying that you don't need food. I'm not saying that a vacation or a shopping trip is not a good thing. But if you were hearing this teaching for the first time, and Jesus just acknowledged how the burdens of life are weighing you down, He knows, He understands. Listen, you would have been stunned by the words, "Take my yoke." You would have said, "What?" There would have been gasps that this would have flowed right across the crowd. Yoke? Take His yoke? I'm already overwhelmed. Life is crashing in on me, and He's telling me I have to add something else to my life? There's a paradox. You see, the yoke is an instrument of service, but it's also an instrument of submission. It's put on an animal so that it can do the work as it submits to the leadership of the master. Jesus is saying, listen, if you're overwhelmed because you're working too hard and your schedule is too busy, then I have more work for you to do. Wait a minute. How can you do more work and doing more work relieve your burden? Well, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 29 gives us a little hint. The Apostle Paul says, to this end I also labor, striving according to His working which works in me mightily. When we are under the Lord's yoke, we're operating with His power and not our own. When we're outside of that yoke, we're operating on our own energy, on our own resource, on our own strength. But Paul tells us there, I labor, I work, but I do it, and all the striving and all the working I do according to His power. His power that works mightily inside of me. My power only has so much power. But God's power is mighty, and it's mighty beyond anything I can imagine. It's sufficient and even more than is necessary for the task. Taking Christ's yoke is allowing His power to work in and through you. You can do more than you ever thought possible. He wants you to do His work and with His power for His glory. The yoke is an instrument of service. It's not rest through the absence of work. It's the willingness to embrace what God has called you to do. But the yoke is also an instrument of submission. It's not saying how and when you'll serve. It's allowing God to use you for His glory with no conditions. In an article entitled, "The Angels Are Laughing," Charles Lowry describes his Achilles tendon injury. The injury required surgery and affected his attitude by creating a deeper appreciation of his position. The next thing I know, he says, I'm showing up at the hospital and discovering my insurance covered as much as my hospital gown. I'm writing checks for services rendered. They give me a time release pill and told me it started working when my check cleared. My life is going downhill in a hurry. We stopped at a restaurant. My wife wanted to cheer me up. I ordered the catch of the day. They told me that they had not caught anything. Pretty soon I realized the guy that goes around telling everyone they need to have a good attitude is the person sitting on the couch being a grouch potato. I decided I needed to start practicing what I preach. I noticed that ungrateful people make hateful people and eventually destroy everything around them. Grateful people become great people and develop other people around them. I thought about that phrase in life. It's not your position, it's your disposition. It's true in business. It's true in the spiritual world. It's your position in Christ that will allow you to see a good situation because you can trust God in every situation. You will never see the sun rising looking west. Why? You're in the wrong position. I can see that I was resenting my position rather than receiving my situation. The position is really simple. I was reminded that when I pray with my young granddaughter, we fold our hands and say, God is great, God is good. Let us thank Him. I wasn't thanking Him for my bum leg, but I realized I needed enough faith to bless Him and to thank Him that He could bring blessing out of the blunder. Jesus said, take my yoke. When we place ourselves in this position of humility, we move into a position of receiving God's blessing. You will never experience the blessings until you're willing to do it God's way. As long as you're trying to do it your way, the blessing will not be there. Some good things may happen and you may feel like you're blessed, but you'll never truly experience God's blessing until you do it His way. And that's what being under a yoke is all about. Following Jesus is also about continuing the education. In verse 29, Jesus says, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Jesus said that we must learn from Him. Just focus in on that word, learn, for a moment. You may have spent most of your life in church somewhere and not even scratched the surface of what He wants to teach you. The Apostle Paul wrote one half of the New Testament. And yet, toward the end of his life, he said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, he said, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. After all that Paul did, he said, I haven't done a whole lot. And what I've done, I'm putting that behind me because I need to do more. The Apostle Peter, he described growing in Christ this way in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are always to be about the business of adding more to what God has already given us. There's always more to learn. Does this describe your life? Are you growing in Christ? Are you adding to your faith? Following Jesus should be a new experience. It should be something that motivates you to learn on a regular basis. A pastor once wrote, on my son's 16th birthday, against my wife's wise counsel and definitely against my father-in-law's advice, I took my son hang gliding. My father-in-law is the former launch director of the NASA space shuttle, so he knows what makes things fly. When I told him we were going to give Jordan hang gliding lessons, he said, that's a bad idea. I was all for it until we got out there and the guy directing the operation was wearing pink Crocs. Several other things created an unsettling feeling. The guy with the pink shoes and looking like he had just walked off the shores of a distant beach said, hey dude, you guys want to make a flight today? I'm thinking, there is no beach around here and I'm not a dude, I'm a Baptist preacher. My doubt continued to mount when he said the flights were delayed because of high wind, which he described as anything above 5 miles per hour. I'm thinking, 5 miles per hour. Are you kidding? I can make a 5 mile an hour wind by sneezing. Then they could not get the tow plane working. I'm thinking, this is a big problem. While we're waiting for the wind to die down, the pink croc dude is trying to get his plane working. He yells for Bubba to help. This guy who looks like he's been living under the hood of a car for the last 50 years comes out with a huge monkey wrench. Bubba walks up to the plane and bam! He strikes the plane's engine a couple of times. I promise I'm not making this stuff up. You can ask my wife, who's about to go into cardiac arrest at this moment. Now try it, yelled Bubba. The engine sputtered a few times and then started. This made Pink Croc Dude happy because he responded with a toothless grin and a big thumbs up. And when Jordan's time came around, I'm praying, Lord Jesus, you've been gracious to forgive my stupidity before. Please do it one more time. Here is what I want you to understand. When you hang glide, they strap you in a harness. It's basically a yoke. In this yoke, you lay in a horizontal position, slightly suspended off the ground. Then something incredible takes place. The plane with Pink Croc Dude flying takes off, pulling your glider with a tow rope. They go maybe 20 yards and whoosh, the hang glider takes off in the air. Without the yoke, without the harness, he would never have gone thousands of feet in the air. But with the yoke, my son went higher and farther than he could ever gone on his own. If you take the yoke of Jesus Christ and you place it on you, he'll take you higher in ministry than you have ever dreamed possible. He'll teach you things that you never imagined that you could learn. But you have to choose to come, to take, and to learn.